Monique McLean wanted a new hairstyle for the first week of seventh grade. She got the idea from her mother, Alicia, who had her long dark hair done up in a sweep over the summer so that it lay braided smooth on one side of her head and fell in a cascade of curls down the other. Monique, who was 13, had her mother's long dark hair and wanted the sweep for her first week at Woodrow Wilson Middle School in Middletown, Connecticut. She thought it would look grown up. A friend of Alicia's who does hair came over and went to work on Monique. When she was finished and Monique's hair was sleek and shiny, her mother snapped a photo of her daughter in profile, a stud earring in the shape of an M gleaming below the braids and a shy half-smile on her face. She looked like a more glamorous version of her old jeans and ponytail self. Monique didn't usually like to strut, but that morning she let her curls swing on the way to the bus stop. "I was excited to go to school," she said. "I liked how my hair looked. It felt special." But Monique's head was down when Alicia looked out of her fourth-floor apartment window that afternoon and saw her daughter walking home from the bus stop. Alicia called from the window to ask if the hairstyle had been a hit, and Monique said nothing, just shook her head. At the door, she followed her mother's rules by stopping to take off her sneakers, then came inside to tell what had happened. Two eighth-grade girls on her bus, Destiny and Cheyenne, had mocked her for being a biter, a copycat. It turned out that Destiny's cousin had gotten the same hairstyle the week before. Monique hadn't known that. Still, in Destiny's and Cheyenne's eyes, she was a biter, and biters were fair game. The older girls, who were known for being tough, kept at it the next day. They trailed Monique when she got off the bus, walking a few steps behind her and taunting her all the way down the street and onto the grounds of her apartment complex. Monique didn't know why they cared so much about a hairstyle. She just wanted it to stop. She went to her room and called her friend Sonia. "The eighth graders are in my face on the bus and I can't take it," she said. Sonia didn't ride Monique's bus. None of her friends did. She had no one to sit with, no one who could be a buffer against Destiny and Cheyenne. Listening, Alicia felt bad for Monique, but she figured it would blow over. It was just girls being rude. It was just a hairstyle. They'd forget the whole thing by morning, wouldn't they? But the next afternoon, Monique's head was hanging again. Destiny and Cheyenne had taunted her for being a biter on the way to school and on the way home. Alicia walked Monique to the bus stop in the morning, stayed to make sure Destiny and Cheyenne didn't bother her, and at noon headed to Woodrow Wilson to report that her daughter was being bullied. Alicia met with a Middletown police detective who was stationed at the middle school. He called in Monique and assistant principal Diane Niles. Niles told Monique that if the girls made fun of her again on the way home, the school would take action. Principal Charles Marquois came in for a few minutes and also assured Alicia the school would not stand for this kind of behavior. "They said they would handle it," she told me later, "that they would not tolerate those girls going after Monique like that." And so when Alicia met Monique at the bus stop later that afternoon, she expected to hear that the ride had gone smoothly. But Monique was blank-faced and silent. When the other kids streamed away down the street, she mumbled to her mother in a low voice that the eighth graders were now calling her a snitch as well as a biter. No one, not one kid, was sticking up for her. Alicia called the police on her cell phone to make a harassment complaint. She also called Niles, handing the phone to Monique right there on the sidewalk so she could describe how the bus ride had been worse, not better, than the day before.